I call this Wednesday, September 11th, 2024 Planning Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Williams?
Here.
Forrestall?
Here.
Hyatt?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
Linane is absent, and Vineyard?
Here.
Thank you.
Before I move on to the previous minutes, I'd just like to take a moment, recognize the heinous actions of September 11th, 2001. Today, we remember the 23rd anniversary of such a horrific event. We must remember those that had died, were seriously injured, and forever scarred over those events. In the aftermath, we saw something pretty magical, in my opinion. We witnessed a country come together and stand by in solidarity. We always say never forget when it comes to September 11th. But what we need to remember is when our society sees that our commonalities, we thrive. We need to stop focusing on what makes us different and start focusing on what we have in common. So please, if you would, join me in a moment of silence to remember those that have perished on that fateful day. Thank you. Okay, meeting minutes. Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, August 14th, 2024? Seeing that there are none, may I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, August 14th, 2024, Planning Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestall?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments from the public tonight regarding any topic not on tonight's agenda? Okay, seeing as there are none, seeing as there are no comments from the public, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. There are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Of course, the purpose of these hearings is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimonies from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the request, or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding the request before being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name and who you represent, if anyone. You're also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I state your name.
Do
solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Is the truth.
Is the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
Thank you, gentlemen. And ma'am, you may be seated. Okay. So the order for receiving testimony during the public hearing will be as follows. The petitioner presentation, followed by those to wish to speak in favor of the request, and then those to speak in opposition of the request. May I have a motion to open public hearing on petitions number PZC 2024-17, United City of Yorkville, requesting a text amendment of the UDO, and PZC 2024-01, Yorkville Renewables LLC, requesting rezoning, special use, and variance approvals.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestall?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Okay. So the public hearings up for discussion tonight are as follows. PZC 2024-17, the United City of Yorkville, as the petitioner, is requesting a text amendment to Chapter 8 of the UDO, Review and Approval Procedures within the United City of Yorkville's Unified Development Ordinance. The proposed text amendment will revise and clarify general applications requirements, board commission review, and procedures related to petitions for text and map amendments, annexation agreements, and the economic incentives development agreement with the United City of Yorkville's Unified Development Ordinance. And then PZC 2024-01, Yorkville Renewables LLC, contract leasee Daniel A. and Shireen S. Nagel, property owners, petitioners have filed the application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, requesting rezoning classification, special use authorization, and bulk regulation variance approval. The real property is located on the southwest corner of Galena Road in Illinois Route 47. The petitioners are requesting rezoning approval from R2 single-family traditional Residence District to A1 Agricultural District. The petitioners are also requesting special use permit approval in pursuant to Section 10-8-5 of the Unified Development Ordinance for a solar farm. Lastly, the petitioners are requesting a bulk regulance variance to Section 10-4-13B of the Unified Development Ordinance, requesting a reduction in northwest and south property line setbacks from 50 feet to 8 feet. Is a petitioner for PZC 2024-17, United City of Yorkville, ready to present?
I am.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is the text amendment. So text amendments are changes to established ordinances that have been approved by the city and codified. So there's two main changes that we're proposing to Chapter 8 of the UDO, and that is, one is a clarification of the public hearing and mailed notice requirements for annexation agreement requests, and the other is just a correction of additional inconsistencies and errors that staff found in Chapter 8. So if you recall, we adopted the UDO in January. After several years of review, Chapter 8 has to deal with specifically processes and authorities of various development approvals, special uses, PUDs, variances, and also it defines the roles of the zoning administrator, zoning officer. So once we had our public hearing a few meetings ago for the Hageman Trust annexation agreement, we found that there was a guidance table within the UDO that incorrectly required mailed public hearing notices to property owners within 500 feet seeking annexation. So the inconsistency was in between the text and the graphic. The whole point of the UDO was to make minimal changes to the processes, but codify them and then create graphic tables that people can readily use. So we caused more confusion than we intended. So what we're planning to do, there's a series of 12 amendments that we're requesting. Most have to do with the annexation requirements that I talked about, and some don't have to do with that, just minor changes. I'll go through them briefly, and then we can discuss after the public hearing, or if you have any questions for me. So the first one is in regards to text amendments, which is what we're proposing tonight. We added the word text in Section 10-8-2 to clarify that a text amendment does not require an application and can be initiated by the majority beneficiary of a land trust and the mayor, or city staff, or city council. So that, it's not just an amendment, but a text amendment. Annexation, we provided the table in 10-8-4, and what we did was we clarified a variation can also be authorized by Planning and Zoning Commission. That wasn't clear in the table before. We had one last meeting where it was a PZC authorized variance, so we made that clear. We also separated annexations from annexation agreements. Annexations do not require PZC approval, nor do they require a public hearing if they are not requesting rezoning or any other entitlement, or if they're not requesting an annexation agreement. An annexation agreement does require a public hearing, but the only notice goes to taxing bodies per another table. So we're just clarifying that. We found a couple of little grammatical errors. We revised the table to reflect this. Voluntary petitions, as I mentioned, for annexation do not include requests for zoning and variations. Per Illinois Municipal Code, state statute says that there is no public hearing required. We also clarified that the Plan Council, which is a staff-level technical meeting, is an optional step, and it's determined by staff if that is required for rezonings, annexations, and annexation agreements. The table that talks about the methods of notification, again, we created the other category of annexation agreements, clarified that, and we also clarified that the required notice for annexation agreements is only to the trustees of Fire Protection District and Township Trustees and Commissioner Highways if the land to be annexed includes a highway upon township jurisdiction. The other minor corrections have to do with recording of documents. We want to clarify that a map amendment or rezoning is the requirement for recordation. It just said amendments. We wanted to clarify that. Amendments to subdivisions. We made a few amendments there on the processes. These are all processes that the city currently does. We just wanted to codify them and make sure that it matched throughout the UDO. And finally, we did relook at the standards for map amendments, which is rezoning. And we wanted, the city attorney and I wanted to look at the standards. They're called LaSalle factors in Sinclair. They're based off of historic case law. And we decided to add back in, that was taken out as part of the UDO update, the two Sinclair factors, which has to do with if the request has a community need and the length of time that the property has been vacant. So we felt that that was important as a standard. If you have any questions about any of the other minor changes that have to do with spelling errors or duplication of information, let me know. I can go in those in further detail.
Okay. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Okay. Anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition of this request? Nope. All right. Questions from the commissioners? You guys have anything? Looks like a lot of housekeeping. Anybody else? Greg, Rusty? Everyone else is good? All right. As a petitioner for PZC 2024-01, Yorkville Renewables LLC, ready to present?
We are.
Very good, sir.
Good evening. My name is Daniel J. Kramer. I'm an attorney licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois. My address is 1107A South Bridge, Yorkville, Illinois. I represent the petitioner, Yorkville Renewables. And although this Matt might not be a familiar face to you, his counterpart, Matt Kwiatkowski, was, we were here in front of you several months ago getting a project approved on Cordials Road for Nextamp, which is the parent company. I think, again, they're a great company for a couple reasons. It's appropriate 9/11. It was started by two veterans who are still the owners of the company. They have a main office in Illinois here in Chicago with, I believe, over 80 employees. And the most important thing to me in the solar companies I represent, it's a little bit like the Wild West with a lot of people out trying to get options and leases for farmers. But these folks build what they acquire as far as the land or leases if they're the owners. They operate it and they don't sell it. So you're going to see Matt and his team throughout. And I think that means a lot for a community. And this is a community project, not a large solar farm. I don't see anybody in the audience. And I thought we might have a neighboring property owner who let us know they're going to object to it. I thought they'd be here to give testimony tonight. They certainly don't have to be. But I want you to know that we're not stubborn or bullheaded. When I found they had some concern, we contacted their attorney. We offered to meet. They said, well, they'd contact their client and see. But we have no idea other than they might just not like solar, what their concern is. So I just want you to know that in the backdrop, full disclosure. I'm not the expert.
Yes.
So I would call on Matt Walsh to do the presentation. And we do have technical people here, stormwater engineer and so on tonight. If you've got questions along those lines, happy to answer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Please.
Thanks, Dan. Matt Walsh. I'm with Nextamp and here representing Yorkville Renewables LLC, petitioner. Thank you again for hearing our application tonight. It's been a long road to get here. I believe we started working on this project 2 years ago, and a lot of patience, but I think there's been a lot of great work that's done on the project over the course of that time, and I think we have a pretty good application for you to review. So next slide, please. So just a couple of things very appropriate for September 11th. We were founded in 2007. We had our founders were two Army captains, came back from tours of duty following September 11th, and felt like there was a lot of conflict over natural resources. They started this small solar company, started off focusing on small residential rooftop installations, and quickly grew into the largest community solar developer in the country. Community solar projects are kind of in the 20 to 30 acre range in terms of size, as opposed to utility scale projects, which can be hundreds or even thousands of acres. NextAmp has a strong commitment to Made in the USA. We just earlier this year had an announcement with a partnership we have with a manufacturer called Clean that's located in Minnesota to purchase a very large volume of solar panels that will supply our projects into the future here, in addition to the iron and steel that the solar panels sit on in the field. We're getting U.S. made steel as well, so that we can have domestic supply chain supporting these projects, producing jobs right here in the USA, including in New Yorkville. Next slide, please. So again, one of the largest community solar developers. We have projects all the way from northern Maine all the way to Hawaii, and everywhere in between. Chicago is our HQ2, second headquarters. First headquarters is in Boston, Massachusetts. In Illinois, we are ramping up our employment, so we currently have now more than 100 employees in Illinois. We recently had an announcement with Governor Pritzker moving our headquarters here. We've committed to hiring, creating 3,000 jobs and deploying $2 billion in capital in the state of Illinois. So significant investment in this state, creating a lot of jobs. Currently, we're building 20 projects across the state, or we have 20 projects that have been built and operated. We have 30 more that are currently in construction, and dozens and dozens more that are in various stages of permitting. Next slide, please. I know that you guys have heard community solar before, so I won't spend too much time on this slide, but the general idea is that the benefits that rooftop solar owners get, saving money on their electric bill, this is an opportunity for folks that can't put solar on their roof, like for structural reasons, shading reasons, their HOA doesn't allow solar on their roof. This is an opportunity that we aggregate a fair number of panels into one centralized location, people subscribe to it, and then those credits that are generated by this are applied to their electric bill and reduces their energy costs. So there's a huge demand for this product. It's saving people money and allowing to support renewable energy. Next slide, please. This is a couple pieces of equipment that you'll see. So at the center of the site, we have an equipment pad that has a utility transformer, a couple of inverters, a switch gear, and some remote monitoring equipment. Below the solar panels, in compliance with recommendations of the IDNR and the Village of Yorkville's solar ordinance, or the City of Yorkville solar ordinance, we'll have pollinators below the solar panels, and then on the right, of course, what a solar panel looks like. And in this case, we will not be using a farm fence. It'll be a chain link fence with opaque slats so that it's not visible through the fence. Next slide, please. We will have a camera at the center of the site so we can remotely monitor the facility. There will be no lighting, so when this facility is not operating at nighttime, there's no noise, no movement, but we do have eyes on the project. And then again, the last thing is the solar panels sit on metal I-beams that are pushed into the ground, and then there's what we call racking, which is essentially just a bar that goes in between the metal I-beams that hold the solar panels up. This will be a tracking system, so it does rotate very slowly throughout the day, tracking the sun. Next slide, please. Just a couple of local projects. This is one that's in the Village of Burlington. This is a 16-acre project that serves nearly 400 people. Really good example of pollinators, a especially in the early stages here, starting to see a flower under the solar system. And if you ever get a chance to go up to Burlington, you'll probably drive right by it because it's tucked back in the corner of the site and you don't even really see it. There is landscaping that surrounds the perimeter, so very similar to what we're talking about here in Yorkville. Next slide, please. This is one that's in Will County. This one is not a pollinator site. Will County refers to kind of grass under their panels, so that's what this represents. But again, it does have some landscaping around the perimeter to provide some screening. Next slide, please. So just to dive into our project here, give you a little context. Project is located at the south west corner of Galena Road and Route 47, so north side of the city of Yorkville, kind of kitty corner to Raging Waves. Next slide, please. So this is zooming in much closer, so you can see Raging Waves down in the lower right corner, and then we're looking at a site that's approximately 73 acres with the solar system tucked into the back, more than 1,000 feet from Galena Road or Route 47, preserving the frontage of the property for future commercial development or residential development, however the landowner determines its best use, obviously it's the input of the city.
Can I interrupt Matt for
sure.
1 minute? Matt, if you'd clarify for the Planning Commission, does the red outline comprise the Mago Holding?
Correct. So the red outline is the entire property boundary. The yellow outline is the outline of the solar area.
Thank you very much. Just for clarity for the record, please.
Yep, thank you. The solar area would be approximately 23 acres of the 73-acre parcel. What you'll see is on the west side and north side of the property, and even encroaching into the Nagel property, is a landscape recycling facility. So we kind of feel like this is a really good location that provides some buffering between a dusty facility that might not be conducive to have residential use directly adjacent to it. But with that buffering, we don't really care what our neighbors are doing, as long as they're not disturbing our facility. But outside of the solar facility, I think it'd be a good buffer for residential use or commercial use along the frontages of one of those major roads. Our driveway, well, wait until we go to the next slide. Just real quick, this is a 5 megawatt project, and our agreement with the landowner is for this project to last between 30 and 40 years. So in a sense, it's a temporary use because it will be removed. There will be a decommissioning bond. There's requirements both from the state and from the city to remove this project at the end of its life, but it is for a long-term period. Next slide. Over the course of the last 2 years, we've done quite a bit of due diligence. We've executed a lease, we've completed surveys, completed our studies with the utility. We now have an interconnection agreement, and ComEd is procuring materials to allow for interconnection to the project. We've received sign-off from this State Historic Preservation Office, the IDNR for endangered species. We've had a wetland delineation completed, and subsequently a jurisdictional determination from the Army Corps for the wetlands that were discovered on site. We've had FAA sign-off. We've completed a drain tile investigation, geotechnical investigation. We have had initial sign-off from the Rob Roy Drainage District, but we are progressing to kind of a final sign-off, and we are still pending an IDOT driveway permit for a little stub road for IDOT or for ComEd to be able to redo here along Route 47. Through this process also, we've been able to work with Dan Nagel and his neighbors to kind of clean up the recycling center that's been encroaching his property, so helping clean up the area a little bit. We've been identifying property lines and helping with unwinding some old PUDs that kind of allow more development in the area by completing that. So a long process that I think is beneficial we won't take credit for doing it, but participating in that process and allowing some more development opportunities to be unlocked in this area. Next slide, please. So this is the site plan. There's an existing asphalt grinding road that goes from Galena Road down to the project area. We will be upgrading that with the gravel driveway that leads to the center of the site, which is where the equipment pad is, the inverters, transformers, and everything will be kind of tucked into, I kind of call this the boot, the shape of the property, and it'll be kind of in the toe of the boot there. What we are asking for is a variance. Initially, we had applied 2 years ago. The setbacks were 8 feet from the property lines. The zoning ordinance has been updated that requires 50-foot setbacks from the west property line, 100-foot setbacks from the north and south property lines. We are requesting that be reduced to 50 feet. So we're far in excess of the original requirement that we had initially applied under, but less than what the zoning ordinance now requires. But we are, go ahead.
I'm sorry, can you specify which boundaries you're requesting the reduction to 50 feet?
The entire northern property line that abuts the Undesser property and the entire southern property line that abuts the Tequila Sunrise LLC property.
Thank you.
Is that okay? All right. Through this process, we have advanced the plans far beyond what's required of the special use, so we are approaching what we would consider almost construction civil plans. So we've been working closely with city staff and EEI, your civil engineering consultant, and the landscape consultant to finalize the design of the project. We are very close. There's a few landscaping requirements that we need to address and a few other odds and ends, but I think we're at a place where everyone's pretty satisfied where the project has been designed in terms of compliance with the code. We have had review from the police department, KDOT, Kendall County DOT for their jurisdiction over Galena Road. They've approved the access point, and we are now just awaiting IDOT approval of our small access road. It doesn't go all the way to the solar farm, but it's a little stub that allows ComEd to park a car off 47 rather than on the shoulder so that they can get out and reach here. So our project will have all underground electric lines except for a couple holes that will be along 47 that allow the ComEd to interconnect our project with their grid. So with those poles, one of the poles will host a meter, which they need to read on the basis. And then quickly, just the landscape plan. This project has pretty substantial landscaping, so along the north, south, and east fence lines, there's substantial landscaping screening the project from all the neighboring uses that are either residential or a main thoroughfare. Again, the perimeter fence is going to be opaque. It's a chain link fence with slats in it, so the site will, it won't be invisible, but it will be screened and the view will be improved. Underneath the solar panels, again, there's going to be pollinator, native pollinator mix that will enhance habitat. And then along the Route 47 property boundary and the Galena Road property boundary, if you scroll just a little bit, is some parkway trees that are required by the code that will be installed as well. Next slide. And then to kind of close it out, just a couple of pictures for view sheds. So this is the current view looking west on Route 47, right on Route 47, looking towards the project. If you look real hard, you can maybe see the landscape facility that has 60-foot high piles of dirt our solar panels, while we are asking for approval for up to 20 feet, the product that we're planning to use is about, the top of the solar panel is about 12 feet high, so if you can't see a 60-foot pile of dirt in this picture, it's going to be hard to see a 12-foot solar panel. Next slide, please. And then we did a couple of photo simulations, so this is looking from the Raging Waves parking lot. This is the before picture. If you go to the next slide, this is the after picture, so hard to really see anything from the parking lot, but there are landscape trees that are added here that are barely visible. Next slide, please. And then this is the existing access point that we will be utilizing for the new access point. Again, kind of make out the hills in the background that comprise the landscape facility, but very difficult to make that out from Galena Road or the adjacent residential properties that are here along Galena Road. Next slide, please. This is the before picture. Next slide. This is the after. So you can see some landscape screening that's along the property boundary and then the top of the solar panels that when they're at full tilt, you'll see them just above the fence until the landscape fully grows in. Next slide. And then I just wanted to touch on decommissioning really quickly. So we have executed an agricultural impact mitigation agreement with the Illinois Department of Agriculture that requires us to take certain steps to design the project to easily remove it at the end of its life. And we are also required to post a bond, which is also a requirement of Yorkville. So we have submitted a decommissioning estimate that has been reviewed by EEI. It's significant, and it will require us to remove everything and ensure funds are in place and everything can be removed. And then just in terms of just some basic deconstructing and construction items that NextAmp is pretty proud of, we have implemented a recycling program, so 100% of during construction, inevitably some solar panels break. We recycle those, they put up pallets, ship to a warehouse. Once we have a critical mass of them, we send them to a recycling center that's in the St. Louis area that will that takes them apart, harvests all the recoverable pieces on them. We will have three dumpsters out there, one that's for pallets, one that's for metal pieces, and then one that's for plastics. So we are trying to recycle as much as possible. Our waste bin is probably the smallest dumpster that has the least amount of activity in it, but we are taking steps to make sure that we are trying to do right by the environment. Recycling everything possible. And I think with that, that's the end of our presentation.
If I may, just briefly again for the record, Dan Kramer, that's my favorite slide that they showed during the presentation. And again, you can view it at sites that's what they do. It's not just a pretty picture. I can't stress enough as well the last slide when Matt mentioned the AIMA agreement. You can really tell a good solar company that comes before you from a bad one, because we actually see a lot of the proposed leases and options come in without mentioning that there will be an AIMA agreement. And that's absolutely crucial, because the landowner here, Dan Nagel, I can take a ride back in history a bit. When I was a green young lawyer, his dad and his uncle owned a dairy farm where I grew up right next door that I used to hunt on. And Dan and his dad hired me to do my first zoning project 47 years ago with the city of Batavia. I think we sold, or they sold, and I did the zoning for MetroNet for high-speed internet service in Batavia about 5 years ago. So it took 42 years to finish it out, but it was a good project. And I hope Dan lives another 40 years to see the end of this lease. If not, he's got some nice kids. So. Again, if there's no other public testimony tonight, I would ask that you close the public hearing tonight. It's not quite what I expected. And I will comment on Tequila to the south has been in contact with us from day one, working on the getting rid of the old PUD, and they're fully in support of us. So we have no problems with them whatsoever. So thank you for your time, and if you close the public hearing, and I'm grateful for that.
So Dan, do you want the
finding of facts?
Yeah, their finding of facts for each of the applications submitted into the record?
We would, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Christy.
Is there anyone here that wishes to speak in favor of the request? Anyone?
Dan, if you want to pipe up that you're in favor.
I assumed you were.
Dan Eagle, owner of the property. They're going through. I think it's a very good offer for the city because of the housing that could be proposed against the land area. So I think that's one of the reasons why I looked at it. I said it would be better suited there to give a good buffer. It's about 1,000 feet away from any houses and the rest of it. So that, I think it's a very good use of land. But the pollinators, we need that for agriculture. We have farms up by Sugar Grove. So anyway, this is not Dan and I's first go around. So anyway, that's about all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate a positive vote.
Thanks. And to keep popping up, but can we make part of the record a publication on AIM agreements from Illinois Solar? I think that would be useful. I'll pass it to the court reporter.
Thank you.
I promise that's last time.
That's all right. Is there anyone present that wishes to speak in opposition to the request? We did receive a protest to this plan. Everybody got a copy of it. You guys all take a look at it. Do you guys have any questions about that? This is very inexperienced when it comes to this last minute here, so this would be the time for us to ask the questions for it.
Did they provide any additional information as to why they were protesting?
We just received the letter.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my main concern. It says they are in protest, but gave no reasoning.
Sure. Guess if they were really against it, they probably would have showed up. Okay, just wanted everyone to be aware of that we did have one the last minute. So okay, you guys have any questions for the presenter?
Real question was, do you have any plans to expand? I know that was quite a large piece of land. Are you planning on just keeping the initial 22 acres?
Yeah, we have no intention of expanding this one. In fact, our agreement with the landowner exclusively requires us to stay in that area of the property, much like some of the wishes of the county and the setbacks that are required of 1,000 feet. The landowner also wishes to preserve his frontage for future commercial development. So we not only don't have intention of expanding, but are unable to.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anybody else have questions?
Might I ask a question?
Please.
Hi, everybody. I'm city attorney. I work with Kathy Orr, by the way. Matt, did you receive a copy of the protest, or did just Kramer's office receive a copy?
I haven't received one.
Okay.
Candidly, I haven't been in our office today.
Okay.
I was there yesterday. Nothing came in the mail, so I had not been made aware of any protest.
Okay, all right. And that I would like to know that we should follow up on that because the UDO requires the protest to be served both on the applicant and the applicant's attorney. So it's just something for us to do.
On the letter itself, it says it was sent to Christopher Clark in your office?
Yeah, that's our chief development officer. I spoke to him on the way here. He did not mention anything about a protest that had come through.
Anything else?
That's all.
Awesome. Okay. Since all public testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
All right, the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. Seeing as there are no items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll move on to new business. Christie, is there anything that you would like to add on PZC 2024-17 text amendment?
Nothing additional, just the markup, the red line is in your packet if you have any specific questions.
I don't have anything. Do you guys, you said it seemed like it was just a lot of housekeeping. Anything? All right. So may I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-17? May I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-17 text amendment?
So moved. Second.
Could somebody read the motion, please?
I'll do the reading. Sorry.
Thank you.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on September 11th, 2024, and discussions conducted at that meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of the request to amend Chapter 8 of the UDO review and approval procedures in the Unified Development Ordinance to revise and clarify general application requirements, board/commission review, and procedures related to petitions for text and map amendments, annexations, annexation agreements, and economic incentive/development agreements, as presented in the staff memorandum dated September 4th, 2024.
Thank you. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Awesome. Staff, would you like to present PZC 2024-01 Yorkville Renewables LLC, the rezone, the special use, and the variance? Please.
Yes. So I can summarize a lot of what Dan and Matt were saying. So first, they are proposing the 23-acre solar farm that will be situated at the former Westbury Village land unit development, and then they're also requesting the rezoning from the R2 to the A1 district, and then the variance, the packet states from 50 to 8 feet, but as the petitioner just clarified, that would be the 100 to 50 feet on the north and the south. A memorandum of understanding was done with the successor property owners of the East Village of Westbury development, which executed the land plan and obligation of the PUD on May 28th. Therefore, the underlying zoning of the property is R2. And due to the solar farm being a special use in the A1 district, they're also requesting the special use permit as well. The variance, to go into further, again, the panels meet the front and the rear west yard setbacks, but they do not meet the north and west, which are the side yard setbacks. Again, the petitioner is wanting to maintain the 50 feet on those, and because of the original petition that was submitted, it had already gone through a plan council and met the standards of the previous UDO. As well as the proposed solar panels also meet the buffer area of 1,000 feet from the nearest solar array to a roadway network, and then they also exceed the 1,000-foot setback from the nearest solar array to the Fox River. They are proposing 11,712 arrays with 10 to 176 tracker motors. Again, the operations phase of the lease is for 20 years with several extensions that could extend the operations phase up to 40 years. Section 10.4.13 Alternative Energy Use Standards of the City's UDO establishes zoning parameters and regulations that I will go into briefly now. They are, again, occupying 23 acres of overall parcel, which they meet the minimum of 3 acres as stated in the UDO. The solar farm cannot occupy more than 80%, and they
they will only be occupying 31%. The petitioner stated that the maximum height for the solar array will be 20 feet, and the UDO states that it cannot exceed 30, and that the solar farm shall be an accessory use to the principal permitted use, which is why they're only occupying 31% of overall land. The closest array to the residential parcels on the north of Galena Road are about 1,300 feet. And then again, the petitioner submitted a glare study and analysis that concluded that there was no potential for glint or glare identified by the analysis. And again, in their presentation today, they showed the viewshed points as well. The petitioner is also proposing a 8-foot-tall galvanized chain link fence with slats that surround the 4,600 linear foot perimeter of the solar farm, which aligns with the UDO regulated 8-foot fence. The transformer is the greatest source of noise on the property, which will be 1,443 square feet from the nearest residence. Signage, like warning signs, are also to be provided at the entrance to the facility, and the petitioner submitted an exhibit that includes the emergency contact information, the dimensions of the emergency contact sign, and the sign's location on the solar farm's fence. And then as far as the utilities and the electric service provider, the petitioner provided a copy of an interconnection agreement with ComEd. The access road, as they showed in their presentation, will be a 20-foot wide gravel driveway that is proposed off of Galena Road, and the path provides access to the equipment. And they stated that they would have no parking stalls, but per staff's recommendation and the petitioner agreed that they have one paved parking pad for off-street parking. Gravel roads are not permitted for vehicle travel, but staff defers to the city's public work director and the city engineer before final approval on the road composition. As far as the landscaping, they are again proposing the pollinator mix, and it's staff's recommendation to utilize the modified Type D transition zone at a minimum of the eastern border facing Route 47. And the applicant did state that the modified transition zone D has been applied along the eastern fence line. And we are supportive of the landscape buffer for the north and the south of the property due to the UDO regulation not requiring a landscape transition when agricultural land is near a residential use. And then the abandoned systems, to ensure that the petitioner is in compliance, they have provided a decommission plan narrative and a construction estimate of $1,209,203 at year 40 with a 3% inflation rate. And then additionally, a performance guarantee in an amount of $1,741,254 is recommended by the city engineer. And then staff also recommends a blanket easement over the property to allow the city or its contractors to remove the abandoned system in compliance with the city code. EAI, the city engineer, has reviewed the plans, and staff recommends the work items listed in the review letter become conditions for the special use permit and requirement for insurance of a building permit. And then the police department has also reviewed the plans, and staff recommends the developer clearly mark the location of the driveway access to alert drivers of the site entry and provide additional traffic management. As far as the comprehensive plan, the future designation for the future land use of the property is estate/conservation residential, which is usually used for subdivisions, but in 2016 this designation was also used as a holding classification for areas on the outskirts of the city or the perimeter of the corporate boundary that didn't have as much public infrastructure to support development within the 10-year time frame. And then while the proposed A1 district is not significantly different to the large lot, low-density residential envisioned for this land use, an amendment to the comprehensive plan would be required if the rezoning is approved. And then lastly, staff's recommendations and the standards for the rezoning, special use, and variance are in the packet for your review. That's all.
Thank you. Commissioners, you guys have anything? All right. So we're going to have three motions for all this. So we'll just read them one at a time, vote on them one at a time if that's fine, or should we just do them all together?
Well, we got to
do standards.
Yeah.
So can I?
Oh, sure.
Sorry. Oh, you're okay. Really quick, let's go through the rezoning standards. The existing use and zoning of nearby property, I don't think this really affects anything with what's around the area. The extent to which property values are diminished by the particular zoning restriction, don't think that has anything to do with it here. To the extent to which destruction of the property values of plaintiff promotes health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the public. The relative gain to the public is compared to the hardship imposed upon individual property owner. Let's see if that's met. The suitability of the subject property for the zone purpose, I think it's fine there. The length and time the property has been vacant, zoned, considered in the context of land development in the area in the vicinity of the subject property. It's been empty forever. Community need for the proposed use, there definitely is one. And the care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development. Couple additional UDO standards. The proposed map amendments are consistent with the comprehensive plan and purposes of the UDO. Proposed map amendment is consistent with the existing and planned use and zoning of the nearby properties. Meets it. The subject property is suitable for the purposes of the proposed district. The proposed map amendment will not result in individual parcel zoned in one zoning district that is not shared by the adjacent parcels. We'll get one more. And the proposed parcels to be rezoned shall meet the minimum frontage and area requirement of the requested rezoning district as specified in section 10-3-9A. That is for the rezoning. Special use standards. You ready for these? Establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within the neighborhood in which it is to be located. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property uses permitted in the district. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress or egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. The proposed special use is not contrary to the objective of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended. Good. All right, variance standards. A particular hardship to the owner would result because of the physical surrounding shape or topographical conditions of the subject property as distinguished from a mere inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulation were carried out. Conditions upon which the petition for variation is based are unique to the subject property and are not applicable generally or to other properties within the same zoning district. The difficulty or hardship is not created by any person presently having an interest in the property. The variation will not be detrimental to public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which a property is located. The proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property, substantially increase the congestion in public streets, increase the danger to the public, or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. And the proposed variation is consistent with the official comprehensive plan and other development standards and policies of the city. So, we'll take a motion for all three and then read them one at a time. Okay? So, may I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-01 Yorkville Renewables LLC rezoning, special use, and variance requests.
So moved.
All right, so could you read?
The rezoning,
please?
Yeah. In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on September 11th, 2024, and discussion of findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for rezoning from R2 Single Family Traditional Residential District to A1 Agricultural District for the purpose of constructing a freestanding solar energy system or solar farm located immediately south of Illinois Route 47, North Bridge Street, and west of Galena Road.
May I have a roll call motion? Roll call vote on the motion, please. I'm sorry.
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
Okay, special use.
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on September 11th, 2024, and discussion of the findings of fact, Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for special use authorization to construct a freestanding solar energy system or solar farm as depicted in the plans prepared by Atwell and submitted by Nexamp, dated last revised 8/15/24, for approximately 23 acres located immediately south of Illinois Route 47, North Bridge Street, and west of Galena Road, subject to staff recommendations in a memo dated September 4th, 2024.
Very good. Can I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
All right. Motion is approved. Now to the variance.
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on September 11th, 2024, and discussion of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council for a request for bulk regulation variance to Section 10.4.13.B.8.B of the United Development Ordinance, reducing the north, west, and south property line setback from 50 feet to 80 feet.
52. From 100 to 50.
So it's the north and south.
That's, and I was going to ask that as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I just read the full thing?
Yes.
Over again? Thank you. Just update that. So it's from 100
to 50.
And only the north and south. In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on September 11th, 2024, and discussion of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council for a request for bulk regulation variance to Section 10-4-13.B.8.B of the United Development Ordinance, reducing the north and south property line setback from 100 feet to 50 feet.
Very good. Thanks, Dan. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
All right. The motion is approved.
Thank you very much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Is there any additional business that you would like to update us on?
Oh, we've got...
Oh, wait, we have a mile and a half review.
Yep.
Hold on 1 second.
So, petitioner Jerry Sirchola on behalf of Andy Properties LLC is requesting site plan approval to operate a trucking business for the sale and storage of semi-trailers, small trailers, semi-tractors, and similar uses at 7789 Route 47 in unincorporated Kendall County. The part of the property is vacant, and the other part of the property is occupied by several trucks. In April of 2024, the City of Yorkville received a request from Jerry Sirchola on behalf of A&D Properties LLC requesting a approval of a map amendment for this property from the B3 Highway Business District to the M1 Limited Manufacturing District, and then again for the purpose of operating the trucking business Freehoff Manufacturing. In May of 2024, the city had no objection to the rezoning of the property. And then in June of 2024, the county board approved the rezoning of the property to the M1 district. So the site will consist of approximately a 13,000 square foot main building and two 17,000 square foot metal and frame buildings with a detention area on the southwest area of Route 47. Which means the total building area is about 30,000 square feet, and the site plan shows 5 customer parking stalls, 24 employee parking stalls, 50 8 parking stalls for trailers, totaling 87 parking stalls at full build-out. The city's engineer reviewed the civil plans, and their only comment was that the petitioner should submit their plans to IDOT for an entrance permit and to coordinate with IDOT regarding the future widening improvements that are planned in the area. The Yorkville 2016 comprehensive plan designation for the property is a state/conservation residential and agricultural zoned. The new zoning classification is consistent with Kendall County's recent changes to the future land use map due to the recent rezoning of the property, but the proposed land use and the M1 limited manufacturing district is not consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan, and if approved, the proposed facility would necessitate a review and a potential amendment to the Yorkville Comprehensive Plan's future land use area plans for the area, and then appropriate future land use would be general industrial, which is just intended for broad range of warehousing and manufacturing activities of minimal environmental impact. There was some comments at EDC at the May 7, 2024 EDC meeting. Dan Kramer stated that his client, Jerry Cerchola, would solely be conducting trailer sales and would not be running a trucking business on the site. But at our August 6, 2024 EDC meeting, the committee just requested clarification on whether the trailers that are currently on the site would be removed or remain, especially given that the site plans display storage for the semi-tractors, semi-trailers, small trailers, and uses of that sort. In the packet, you'll find Dan's exact email, but in summary, the clarification just provided confirms that the trailers are being sold and that there are no plans to operate a trucking business at the site. The owner of the property has no intention or authorization to use the site for trucking operations, and the remaining trailers will be removed. And then we're seeking any input from PZC, and the item will be brought to the September 24th, 2024 City Council.
Commissioners, you guys have any questions on this?
Good evening. Stuck with me again, Dan Kramer, on behalf of the petitioner. This one, again, was my first Kendall County zoning project back in the late 70s. It was a failed International Harvester agricultural implement dealership. It was zone B3 by the county at the time. They did not permit agricultural businesses in an A1 or as an A1 special use, so the county had to zone it B3 to let IH have the dealership. And it was three local young farmers that had the dealership. IH went bankrupt, went out of business. The building literally sat fallow for years. A large asphalt contractor had purchased it at a foreclosure auction, and he actually repaired heavy equipment inside during the winter. He didn't ask for any zoning approval, and nothing was ever parked outside, so nobody said anything. After he died and his son sold that business, again, it sat just fallow, doing nothing for decades. It's painted now. It used to be an ugly yellow. Everybody kind of remembered that driving by. It's a nice calm gray. They've baled the hay, so the site looks better there. And frankly, as soon as they can get the excavator in, they've got their engineering approved to scrape for a detention pond on the south side and to install the blacktop parking lot in front. And again, I can reaffirm everything Sarah's saying. My client owns two newer semi-tractors, which he uses to deliver new semi-trailers for his dealership in Shorewood to customers who buy them. He owns no other semi-tractors and doesn't plan a trucking business. The amount of semis, I was kind of shocked, the trailers out there a few months ago. I think there were over 40, maybe even a few more than that. And I said, well, if you're selling new ones, are those all trade-ins? And that's what they were. Plano Molding at their main plant in Plano and over in Sandwich when they had excess inventory, they rented them. So they weren't out here. They were on Plano Moldings, two sites. They now have no need for the inventory storage, so they dumped them all back at his site here. He's gotten rid of about two-thirds of them already. And what he does is he sends them to a Ritchie Brothers big multi-party auction. So all of those are going to go. None of them will stay.
Do you guys have any questions for her?
It should be probably sad it's not safe, because when they sell a new Fruhoff trailer, the sales tax that the county's going to get is wonderful.
I'm sure they'll love it. Anything?
Thank you.
All right. So may I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-18. Jerry, I'm going to butcher your name. I apologize. Strukla, on behalf of Andy Properties, LLC. This is a site improvement plan.
Do you want me to read it first before we do? In consideration of the proposed mile-and-a-half review of Kendall County Commission 24-07, site plan approvals, operated trucking business, sale and storage of semi-trailers, small trailers, semi-tractors, and similar uses at 7789 Route 47, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends to the City Council to not to object to the request.
Okay. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Forrestall?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes. Motion is approved.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Gentlemen.
The next one on the docket is PZC 2024-20, Leo M. Phillip. It's a rezoning?
Yes, so the petitioner Leo M. Phillip is requesting a rezoning for 11.6 acres of the 15 acres that are located at 10835 Legion Road from A1 Agricultural District to R1 One Family Residential District for the purpose of constructing approximately 3 new single family homes. And the property is currently zoned both as A1 Agricultural District and the R1 District, and has underwent several zoning changes. First, in 1984, the southwest corner was rezoned from A1 to R1, and then in 1987, Kendall County rezoned the southwest corner back to A1, except for the 3.3 acres where the existing single-family home is located, which remains zoned as R1. And like I mentioned, there is an existing single family home on the site, which is approximately 4,256 square feet. To highlight the significant differences in the bulk and dimensional standards in the city's R1 district and Kendall County's R1 district, a table and staff's memo has been provided, and much of the difference has to do with the density of the property. Yorkville's 2016 comprehensive plan for the property is the state/conservation residential, and one important thing to note about the neighborhood is that it's characterized by conventional development, such as detached housing on large lots, or conservation by design by clustering homes together that leave undeveloped green space. So the current land use with the single family home on the property and the proposed addition of approximately 3 new single family homes is consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan because of the conventional development approach of clustering the 3 new single family homes within the overall acreage of the property. And staff is seeking input from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and again, this will be brought to City Council on September 24th, 2024.
Awesome. Thank you. Commissioners, do you have anything? Okay. May I have a motion to approve PZC 2024-20, Leo M. Phillip?
You want me to read before we do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
So moved.
Would you like to read?
In consideration of the proposed mile-and-a-half view of Kendall County Petition 24-20 for a map amendment 11.6 acres located at the northeast corner of Legion and High Point Roads, commonly known as address 10835 Legion Road, from A1 Agricultural District to R1 one-family residential district. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommends the City Council to not to object to the request.
Very good. Can I get a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
You're very welcome. Is there any additional business?
Yes.
I just wanted to skip all that.
I apologize for not including that in there.
Additional
business, there's a last meeting, there was the approval of the authorized variance for IDOT. So that went to City Council as informational item. This was approved at the PCC meeting. I also wanted to update you on the Kalaka and Hageman. That actually was approved at the prior City Council meeting. There was no update to you guys, so I just wanted to let you know about that. And then lastly, PCC training is scheduled for November 13th. Per the responses we got from the members, it was recommended that that training starts at 5 p.m., so we'll have a special PCC meeting that starts at 5. When that ends, hopefully at 7, then we can start our regular scheduled meeting. All that I have.
Very good. Before I go to adjournment, just let the commissioners know that we received a resignation from Reagan Goins today. She switched employers and thought that this would be a conflict of interest. She is sad. This is, I've been on the board with her forever. She's come and gone a couple times, but has always come back home. Let's just hope that we get to see her again. I wish her the best of luck in the little bit of time that I had to speak with her today, but we are losing a absolutely valuable person on the board. So if you guys see her, reach out to her. I bet she'd appreciate it. So seeing as there's nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:12.